House gets back to business. Elisa Brady, Fox News. They're set to take up a resolution in support of Israel now that a new speaker has been elected, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson.
You're going to see an aggressive schedule in the days and weeks ahead. You're going to see Congress working as hard as it's ever worked, and we are going to deliver for the American people. I'm grateful for this opportunity.
He won 220 votes, uniting House Republicans after 3 weeks of division over the ouster of Kevin McCarthy as speaker. The Biden-Harris campaign calls him MAGA Mike Johnson and says his ascension cements an extreme MAGA takeover of the House Republican Conference. President Biden reiterating his pledge to work with the speaker in good faith and urging a mutual effort to find common ground wherever possible. The president says he's not holding Israel back from a ground invasion of Gaza.
If Israel can secure the release of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza, it should. But President Biden says he has not made any demands of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to hold off on a ground invasion of Gaza.
I pointed out to him, if it's real, it should be done.
Speaking at a news conference alongside the Australian Prime Minister, the president also reiterated his view that Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people and there must be a vision for what comes next.
And in our view, it has to be a two-state solution.
Asked about the number of Palestinians killed in Israeli airstrikes, President Biden cast doubt on those figures coming from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. Former President Trump gets fined again at his civil fraud trial in New York, the judge calling him to the witness stand to ask about comments made to reporters, critical of the judge and possibly a law clerk violating a gag order. Trump said the remark was aimed at his former attorney, Michael Cohen, who's been testifying against him, but the judge fined him $10,000. After a $5,000 fine Friday. On Wall Street, a sell-off. The Dow drops 105. America is listening to Fox News.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, Dr. Ron Paul here. The Fed creates and pops bubbles using interest rate manipulation. Why put the value of your IRA or 401k at their mercy? This is why I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To get a free info kit from Birch Gold, text the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to 989898. Do it now and protect your savings.
A legal reversal for an ex-Philadelphia cop now charged again in the shooting death of a man during a traffic stop.
Former Philadelphia officer Mark Dial had charges including murder and manslaughter thrown out by a judge last month. Those charges are now reinstated for his actions against Eddie Irizarry. A motion filed by the district attorney's office led to the reversal. Police initially said Irizarry was shot outside the car after lunging at cops. Body cam footage submitted as evidence showed events played out differently, with Dial shooting Irizarry, whose family is also pursuing a wrongful death lawsuit. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
There are multiple reports an auto worker strike that started more than 5 weeks ago might be nearing an end. Fox Business's Jeff Flock.
The Associated Press says the union made a counteroffer to Ford that proposes a 25% general wage increase over the life of a four-year contract, and the deal would also include cost of living pay increases that could lift total pay raises above 30%. Ann Wilson of the Supplier Trade Group, auto suppliers have been hard hit in this strike, say it couldn't come soon enough.
What we've seen over the last week and a half is the expansion of the strike to three of the most profitable, biggest operations in the vehicle industry for the Detroit Three. And this is now translating into a crisis for the entire supply chain.
The UAW expanded the walkout twice in just recent days, most recently to include thousands more union members at a GM factory in Texas. Recapping the Wall Street sell-off, the Dow slides more than 100 points, but stays above 33K. The S&P dropping more than 1%. The NASDAQ plummeting over 300. That's more than 2%. Elisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Paul Sewald, the big trade acquisition for Mike Hazen coming from the Mariners. He's got a chance to save this one and send Arizona to the World Series.
He was the biggest piece that they got at the trading deadline, and he has not disappointed.
Nick Castellanos will start it. Castellanos, a fly ball to right. Carroll is there. Diamondbacks are two outs away now.
Another 0 for 4 tonight. Here comes the left fielder, Brandon Marsh.
Marsh flicks one to left field, going back on it. Gurriel, he's got it. Two outs in the ninth.
And it's going to be Jake Cave getting that at bat.
Sewald a strike away. Here it comes. Cave, a fly ball to right field. Over is Carroll. He's got it. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series.
For the second time in their 26-year history, they have upset the Philadelphia Phillies. They come back after losing the first two games here in Philadelphia. They went four of the last five, the last two here at Citizens Bank Park, and they beat the Phillies 4-3, winning tonight's game by a final score of 4-2.
Hey, what's up? Medicare recipients.
Hey, no free advertising.
Get another Medicare in your mail.
There you go.
What's there you
up?
Go.
It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. Crazy stuff there in Philly, man. The Phillies look, I wouldn't say invincible, but pretty darn good after those first two games. You got the crowd going. We're hyping up, you know, their crazy offense. They're just out of this world environment at Citizens Bank Park, and it looked like an inevitability. What a word there. I'll pat myself on the back. That the Phillies would be in the World Series against either the Astros or the Rangers. But as it turns out, the D-backs are able to get back in it. They're in their home ballpark and then go to Philly and win Game 6 and Game 7. And we have a Rangers Diamondbacks World Series, just like we all thought going into the playoffs.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I cannot imagine what your wager would have been when they were down 2-0 in this series. To be able to say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Diamondbacks to win this thing. It's amazing to me. I think I heard last night at the end of the broadcast that both these teams, the Rangers and Diamondbacks, had lost 100 games like 2 years ago, and now they're both in the World Series. I mean, this is crazy. And I don't know, Arizona, I mean, the pitching looks good for them. Their defense is solid. Corbin Carroll was unbelievable. He just absolutely tore them up last night, and it's unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be fun, I think, to me, to watch the Rangers and Diamondbacks. I'm going to pull for the Rangers because they've never won a World Series, so I want to kind of pull for them. But I thought it was interesting that, as you said, and Kyle, you can attest to this, that well, I don't know why I'd say that, but you can answer this. You start that game with Philadelphia and the crowd just being crazy. The pain that you feel late in the game when you're watching Phillies fans watch the final couple of outs, and it's just this agony on their face. I mean, we've all been through that. Whether you're in the stadium, whether you're at home, and it's this feeling, especially when you're kind of the overwhelming favorite, this feeling of this can't be happening. And I had it Saturday at Memorial Stadium. Now, Illinois wasn't the overwhelming favorite versus Wisconsin, but the way they played the first half, I thought to myself, there's no way Illinois is going to lose this game. And as the clock ticked down in that Illinois-Wisconsin game, I just had this feeling of, this can't be happening. Like, I need to hit, like, the reset button on PlayStation and restart this game. And that was kind of the feeling I know for those Phillies fans, because I know Pipes, you've been there before. I know, Kyle, you've been there before as a Cubs fan. That it's just that feeling of, this is really going to happen, and I'm going home tonight and waking up for work tomorrow in a really bad mood. And that's you can just feel it. You can feel it with those fans.
It's tough.
And
yeah.
I hate it for them, but yet we've all been through it, and that's what it's all about.
About a week ago, Kyle and I are talking about, would Bryce Harper be the face of baseball after this postseason? And the way that it was trending at one point, where he's hitting bombs, of course, he wasn't alone. It was Schwarber. It was Trey Turner. They had all been having great postseasons. Castellanos earlier on in the postseason, but he goes cold. Trey Turner goes cold. Bryce Harper couldn't do anything last night. And, yeah, the credit of the Diamondbacks, I mean, Brandon Fott's turned into a really, really good pitcher for them down the stretch of this season, a guy that's got really good stuff. They, of course,
comes at you, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 95, 96.
He comes right at you. I like it.
Good pitcher. Obviously, Gallen, obviously, Merrill Kelly as well. And in the back end of their bullpen, they get, you heard there on the broadcast, thanks to TBS for sending it over to us. No, we just YouTubed it. But anyways, we were able to play it.
Brian Anderson personally sent that.
Paul Sewald from the Mariners, they get him in a trade to go into the closer spot. And man, who was the guy throwing the eighth inning? Kyle, I'm sure you would know this.
Of course.
Oh, I don't.
It was Ginkle. That dude's nasty.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. the 12-6 curve and like 96 as well to just go with floats. It. And he's just mowing him down. He's mowing him down. So just kind of thinking back, and the Diamondbacks were the final team in the playoffs in the NL.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for, and I'm going to put this on you, Kyle, if anybody's mad about the Diamondbacks being in the World Series, if Seiya Suzuki's not dropping a fly ball and the Cubs aren't unraveling down the stretch, you're not going to see the Diamondbacks in the postseason. It would have been the Chicago Cubs, but it was the Diamondbacks. I feel happy for them. I had to take a little bit of a shot there. Yeah. I don't really mean it, but
yeah, you do.
They were 5-1 right down the stretch against the Cubs.
6-1.
6-1.
In September, Cubs and Diamondbacks played 7 times. Diamondbacks went 6-1.
Wow.
And then even heading into that last week of the season, the Cubs had a lead on the Diamondbacks for a day. Then Suzuki drops that fly ball. Cubs get swept by the Braves. Diamondbacks get in.
You always hear the saying, just get into the playoffs, right? Just get in there and see what can happen. Pipes, I know the Cardinals haven't had a lot of success lately with that, just getting in the playoffs. But there have been years, no doubt, where that team has gotten to the playoffs and then ended up as a World Series champion or ended up running all the way to the NLCS. And I saw a tweet from Kevin Wheeler, our buddy, that basically said, these two teams are playing the best baseball of the season that they've played, and that's what it's all about. Get into the playoffs and hope that your team just starts playing the best baseball of the season, and you can't predict that. And most of the time, it's the better teams that are in the championships. I mean, in the World Series, you had Houston, of course, you had Atlanta. I mean, normally it is those teams that make it, but there are certainly those outlier, if you will, and you're seeing it this year, I think, with both teams. The Rangers, what, they were a 5 seed, I think. What was the Diamondbacks, were they a...
They were the last wild card team in.
So they were a six.
Yeah.
So I think you have a 5 and a 6, I believe, seeds that are playing for the World Series. So I know a lot of people don't like it. The purists, I guess, would rather see 1 versus 1, but I don't know. It's been good baseball so far. I've enjoyed these playoffs, and now you get two teams that are interesting. And who's this Gallen guy that's going to get the nod in game one? Do I know him? Do you and I have any idea who that is? Zach Gallen? I don't really know him. So I don't know what his pedigree, I don't know what his history is, you know.
I'll be sure to take a snapshot of Gallen pitching against Adolis Garcia and posting it on Twitter. I'll do that. But yeah, we talked about yesterday, and there are people that have been vocal about it in terms of, like, does this World Series matchup have the appeal that you traditionally want? And I like the fact sometimes it is cool to have the villain in there, like to have a clear team that is everyone's backing because they don't want to see Houston win it again. Of course, then you run the risk of that other squad losing, and then the vaunted team that you don't want to bring home the title ends up winning it. But like a few years ago, it reminds me a little bit of the, and I'm much more of a baseball guy than I am an NBA guy, but when the Milwaukee Bucks were playing the Phoenix Suns in the finals, I was like, okay, I'm good with this. Two teams that haven't been there in a while, right. Two teams that historically have not won. I don't think the Suns had ever won one, and the Bucks had been forever if they had won one.
Like maybe the 70s or something.
Yeah, so I was like, something new, something different, and two, for the most part, likable squads, and I see a similar resemblance in these two. Like I could easily get on either side of finding reasons why I'd want Texas to win or finding a reason why I want Arizona to win. Of course, I got to ride with my guys because I got a hat and a t-shirt.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Corbin Carroll's super fun. Like, if you just get past who the logo of the team or what your normal conception of a certain franchise is, no, it's not the Yankees, not the Red Sox, not the Astros, Dodgers, Cardinals, but like, we've made a lot, and a lot was made about what Ronald Acuna Jr. did this year in baseball. Corbin Carroll's going to have some unbelievable stat lines through seasons. No, he's not going to hit 40 bombs, I don't right. think. I mean, he hit, what, 25 this year?
He's pretty strong, yeah. I mean, he gets them out.
Hit 25 this year. He's a rookie. A rookie that hit 25 home runs, 285 average, stole 54 bases.
Wow. As a rookie. Like,
that is – and he's a really good defender as well. So he's going to put up crazy steal numbers. He has power. He has average. He's an unbelievable talent who is just a rookie and I imagine is probably in his – what is he, 20?
Oh, he can't be very old. He cannot be very old.
23 years old.
Is that right? Wow. Well, I think it's kind of cool, too, that you get to see. I know, like the Rangers, they've got guys like Corey Seager, Marcus Semien. You know, we've seen guys like that. But, you know, you talk about the Diamondbacks and Christian Walker. I mean, a lot of the people like you and Kyle probably that spend a lot more time watching baseball, you're going to know about him. Some of those that maybe only focus on your team and don't really know much about it. It's fun watching him. Ketel Marte is a really good player, and I think it's kind of neat. The one thing I do hate about this, and it happened to Jim Edmonds when he was traded from the Angels, then the Angels won a World Series. I mean, I hate this for Paul Goldschmidt, but it's been such a long time. It's not like they just traded him last year and now they're in the World Series, but a guy like Paul Goldschmidt would fall into that category, and it's not just of a Cardinal. But it would fall into that category.
Me angry.
I know. Of a player that you really feel like should be at least in a World Series or win a World Series. I mean, Nolan Arenado, has he ever played in a World Series? Guys like that that you always wanted to, you know, Ernie Banks, you know, he never was able to do that as great as he was. And there's just, unfortunately, in every sport, there's always going to be a handful of players that never get that chance to win a title or even play for a title, and they're some of the best players that you've ever seen. You could go through every sport and pick out the guy that's been like that, and then you've got some guy like Robert Horry, let's say, who, don't get me wrong, was a really good player, but he was part of so many championships and did his part a lot. But it's funny how some guys have four or five rings, and then there's other guys that are just elite that have never won a ring. And
Dan Marino type.
Yeah, exactly. And guys that maybe not even get there. So that would be one thing that I would love it for the Cardinals, for you and I, but I would also enjoy it for Arenado and Goldie to be able to get that far and get a taste of something like that.
How in the world do you trade for Paul Goldschmidt and you give them Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly? And Carson Kelly's on the Tigers, and Luke Weaver, last I checked, was on the Reds or wherever the heck he's pitching now and giving up 6 or 7 earned runs per start. And the Diamondbacks are far better positioned and currently in the World Series to win a title than the actual Cardinals. So spend more money, have better tradition, blah, 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 blah. John Jose lets him keep a job.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
How about this? How do you trade 3 picks for Trey Lance, who never materializes, and now you've got maybe the best team in the NFC or in football?
Fair enough.
With San Francisco, it's just it's management that knows what they're doing. And I think there's also breaks along the way.
There is.
You know, there's no doubt there's certain guys that you pick. I don't know anything about Corbin Carroll before he got to the majors, but was anybody projecting him to have this kind of season?
He was a mid-first round pick.
He
was up there. I think he was the favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year going into the season. Jordan Walker, close second. Of course, Walker didn't put up anywhere close to the same kind of numbers.
So that's a bad example. But sometimes you get breaks along the way, right? But you also spend time losing to where you can kind of build up that roster as well, and then you make kind of some below-the-radar trades. I'm sure that we don't notice on an everyday transaction of what the Diamondbacks have done the last 3 or 4 years to put themselves in position to do what they're doing now.
Yeah,
now,
part of it is they had to stink
to
get some of these picks.
The Rangers went out and made some good moves. Right. You're exactly right. I mean, the Rangers did some stuff in free agency, right? And then, of course, at the trade deadline with Jordan Montgomery and others. So they kind of did the right thing in terms of clicking to get what they needed for this team. So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see, and it's a good point you bring up.
217 says if Arizona doesn't trade Goldie, they don't have Gallen.
No,
because the Cardinals traded Gallen and Alcantara to the Marlins, and then the Diamondbacks traded Jazz Chisholm to the Marlins for Gallen.
Yeah, and I've made that wrong before. I've said that wrong before, but Gallen was not in the Goldschmidt trade.
No.
It was Luke Weaver, Carson Kelly. the catcher, and then I think it was another guy who probably closed it last night.
Another throw in. No.
But I'm with the texter. Listen, I've gotten that wrong before when I've said that. But yeah, that was an Ozuna thing. Ozuna's the guy, right? I mean, I don't know. But you know, I don't know.
He wasn't terrible. He wasn't Dexter Fowler.
He wasn't. And he had a pretty good, what? Did he play in St. Louis 2 years?
Yeah.
He had two decent years. He had one pretty big year, right?
His second year was better than his first.
Yeah.
Like at the plate, he was never a good fielder or anything.
And he gave you a memorable Spider-Man off the wall that you'll never forget. I mean, until the day I die, if somebody said, you remember Marcelo Ozuna? Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. When he walked the wall and the ball landed like 10 feet.
On the warning track. If it even got to the warning track. I think it's front part of the warning track. I will say, Philly's doing okay. You know, as a sports town, coming off a Super Bowl appearance with the Eagles, in position to make another run here, whether it be this year or in the near future. It has to be painful, though, to have gotten to the World Series last year and lost, and then feel like you're going to another World Series, but then that comes up short. And it's just it's like a traditional American League lineup is then planted in the National League, and it's a different game now because you have the DH. It's all the same now, but they're built like a traditional, you know, maybe it's a Red Sox lineup where up and down, you know, one through nine, but especially, you know, 1 through 7, you got guys hitting 7th or 8th that on other squads can maybe hit 3rd.
I agree.
When you're considering, you know, Real Muto and Castellanos are maybe your 6 and 7 hitters.
Wow.
You add Turner to last year, you know, they brought back pretty much everybody on last year's team. Then they go get Trey Turner.
Mm.
We know how good he is. The Sixers, they are what they're kind of stuck a little bit in James Harden purgatory.
They're really
good
in the regular season.
Yeah. And, I don't know what the Flyers are doing these days, but
yeah.
We will talk to – on that note, we'll talk some hockey here coming up in the next segment. Scott Powers with The Athletic to talk Blackhawks.
I've been trying to get Scott since before the season started, and he's a busy guy, covers the Blackhawks for The Athletic Chicago. Guy's got like 34,000 followers. I mean, people love reading his stuff when it comes to the Blackhawks. So, yeah, just while we went down that side note, I'm really anxious to ask him about watching the start of Connor Bedard's career and what that's going to do. I mean, the Hawks are last in the division. They're not going to have that great of a season, but certainly the ability now of what they're going to be able to, like, everything's in front of them, right? And now it's a matter of, like you just said, in terms of constructing a roster to make sure that teams win, that's what Hawks management, that's what they've got on their plate right now, because you have who should be the best player in hockey, you know, for maybe not now, maybe 2 years from now, let's say, for the next decade. So then you've got to surround him with what you can to win Stanley Cups there. So I just thought it'd be a good time. I know it's hockey. I know it's early in the season. I know we got a lot of other stuff going on, and I apologize to people out there that don't enjoy the NHL, but Connor Bedard is kind of a once-in-a-generation kind of guy. You know, you have Sidney Crosby, you have Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky. I'm missing some. Yaromir Jagr. Ovechkin. I mean, you have some of these guys that are just, at the end of the day, they're the best at their sport. So I just thought it would be cool to get a little bit of conversation going with him, not only about Bedard, but about the Hawks in general and how they can construct. And then NHL. I want to ask him about the expansion draft. When they do that, I mean, they basically made Vegas into a contender right away. And is that fair? I want to see what Scott Powers talks about his peers about. So anxious for that. And then Joey Wright from the News Gazette at 4:05 today to break down the high school football playoffs. We have a lot of teams that are playing as usual. I mean, this isn't like some, oh, wow. I mean, you've got Centennial and Danville in 6A. Muhammad Seymour is a 4 seed in 5A. You've got PBL, Monticello, Unity, and St. Joe in 3A. Arthur Lovington, Atwood Hammond is a 1 seed in 2A. And then Tuscola, Villa Grove, and Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, so GCMS in 1A. And I know there's some teams on the fringe, right? There's the Charleston, the Mount Zion, maybe. I know we have people from those towns that listen to us, but we're going to try to hit the kind of the more area teams today with Joey and kind of get his take on how this will look and where will it go. The one weird thing for me on that, since we're talking high school, you got PBL, Monticello, Unity are all basically underdogs in the first round, and especially Monticello and Unity. You don't see that very often. And so it'll be interesting to see. Now, Unity's a 9 seed, Williamsville's an 8. Those two and St. Joe always run into each other, always. Somebody always runs into Williamsville and normally beats them. So Unity, I'm not bashing Unity because they had a hell of a season at 7-2, but it's just kind of weird to see those teams kind of as the lower seed or worst seed or however you want to say that going into the first round of the playoffs when normally they are the team hosting a game and you know, ready to dominate. But PBL, Monticello, Unity all on the road in week one. So be interesting and be fun to talk to Joey about that.
Sounds good.
I'm loving it.
If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. I know what 217 said. Didn't the Rangers only finish a game behind the Astros? I've done it too, but the Rangers haven't gotten the credit they deserve for the regular season. I don't think people have maybe necessarily forgotten that. They led the AL West for most of the season.
Yeah, they're good.
They kind of slipped there in July. Maybe it was in August and allowed the Astros to get back in it. The Mariners were in the thick of it for a while as well. But the injuries, we know that DeGrom went down early. When they added Scherzer, then it's like, okay, this team could win the World Series. When they lost him, I think they maybe wondered, do they have the pitching? And, I mean, Montgomery, that trade has been pivotal for them, obviously. Eovaldi's performances in the playoffs. And the lineup's been pretty loaded. They've kind of had ebbs and flows later in the year. But, and I'm not discounting the Texans at all. Yeah, I think that where they were seated, the fact they were a wild card, it was a tougher path for them. But
sure,
I think we talked about it going into that Baltimore series, especially the Orioles being a team that hadn't been there before. Did they have the pitching, despite having the best record in the AL?
Right.
That was a part of their path that they took care of. And then to do what they did in the Astros series, winning 4 in Houston, that was crazy.
That is weird. I mean, was that the Twins-Cardinals World Series where the home team won every game? Now, imagine the other way. I know that's the World Series, but imagine Houston never winning at home in a seven-game series. and winning at Texas. I mean, so basically the road team won every game.
The road team won.
makes no sense.
They said last night it's the first time ever that in both CS series that I
think 3-minute stations.
3 minutes to Scott Powers.
All right.
That's how big of a deal it is.
That the road team won both Game 6 and 7 to then meet in the World
Series. That's unbelievable. Sal gives the old Phillies fans would boo world peace. It was kind of funny. After the last out, there were some boos. And I don't know if that was Phillies fans booing the fact that the Diamondbacks won and we didn't want you to win, or was that them booing their own team saying you didn't accomplish what we wanted. I mean,
there's just frustration.
I know we got to catch a break, but you said it. They've got a lineup built to win a World Series, and it's not like their pitching staff is shabby. So that was a really good Phillies team that the Diamondbacks took care of. So, I don't know. I mean, I know we can call it fluky, but Arizona's got a pretty good team.
Yeah, I mean, Philly will boo anybody. They boo Santa Claus.
Yeah, they threw batteries at J.D. Drew.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So I don't know if they were booing. Maybe they're just booing Arizona. maybe they were. Some of the boos might have been out of frustration because they got to feel like they choked.
Yeah, I would agree.
And they kind of did.
I mean, you're at home. You've got basically, I think, well, I don't know if I'd call you had the one-up and the pitching advantage. I don't think I think that was a very fair.
I think you did in game 6.
Yes, like 6 for
Aaron
sure.
Aaron Nola against Kelly, that felt like the real nail in the coffin, or should have been, for Arizona because Nola had been just that dominant in the postseason.
And I jinxed Philly because remember Merrill Kelly came out and gave up 2 hits right away, and I'm like, he's going to get lit up again. I don't think he gave up another hit.
Probably not. Probably not.
I think I was like, okay. Hey, we got to catch a break so we can talk some hockey, baby. Let's go.
Scott Powers on the horn. Tapman's towing phone line. He'll join us from The Athletic to talk about Connor Bedard, the Blackhawks, and some other thoughts on the NHL. And then, as Lon pointed out, we'll get to Joey Wright later from the News Gazette to talk some high school football. And Brett Bielema spoke with the media. We'll get you that before we get out of here as well. Once again, you can weigh in. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Hey, Class A CDL drivers. Gale Ferex Trucking wants to invite you to join our team and get a taste of what it's like to work with a team that cares about you, your home time, and your professional growth as well as your paycheck. This is Operations Manager Donna Onstott inviting you to join us as we continue building the company you would have started if you knew then what you know now. Gail Frerichs Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. Our drivers are pre-dispatched, make a guaranteed minimum gross pay of $1,200 per week, have paid vacations and benefits, and are home every weekend and sometimes during the week for quality family time. Our openings are limited, so don't miss your opportunity with the top-paying trucking company in the area, Gail Frerichs Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. The days are getting longer, and our customers are booking us up with freight. Gail Frerichs Trucking. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jet's Pizza, new popcorn chicken pizzas. Their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. It's new and a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Try any of the four for just $17.99. Code BBQ. Their popcorn chicken pizzas are perfect to order while watching football with friends and family. Try their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. Just $17.99. Code BBQ. Jets, better because it has to be.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Hey folks, fall is coming, and so are great deals on the world's fastest mower, Dixie Chopper, at Champaign-Urbana's only dealer, Dedicated Diesel, at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. They still have some 23 and a select few 22 residential and commercial models at liquidation prices too low to advertise. Whether you're mowing your yard at home or 200 yards commercially, you'll get the best warranty in the business with 3-year bumper-to-bumper unlimited hours or 5-year bumper-to-bumper up to 600 hours that includes the engine, deck, and spindle hub. Go see Andy Bowman at Dedicated Diesel in Urbana for warranty details and best pricing on the world's fastest mower. He's clearing out inventory to make way for the new 24s, and no reasonable offer will be refused. Dedicated Diesel, 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana, that's just off Route 45, 217-328-0562.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw, right here in Champaign-Urbana, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Kurt and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. It's easy to switch and save. Just give them a call when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
hate that I like this song.
Back in the drive with Dave Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I figured you'd enjoy that. Dave Piper, Lante, Kyle Toss. Let's go to the...
It's a kick, you know what, song.
It is. It's very cool.
It really
I'll
is.
I'll play Gloria for you later in
no,
the show.
Thank you.
Just to make it up to you, all right?
Let me relive that moment.
Yeah.
In 19, that was fun. I haven't talked to Scott Powers since the Blues won a Stanley Cup.
Bring him on.
Let's go.
Chapman's towing phone line. Scott Powers from The Athletic. How you doing? Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Good. No, thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. Was there just a point in time out there that Lante's name was brought up with Scott Powers going, hey, I know a guy that's a Blues fan. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, there's not really around here, so yeah.
Yeah, you want to keep that quiet in Chicago, that's for sure. Scott Powers covers the Blackhawks for The Athletic. And Scott, I've been wanting to have you on to visit with you about Connor Bedard and obviously the excitement that he is bringing to that city in Chicago, which had so much excitement with three cup titles, and then now they've been on a little bit of a swoon and still kind of a team that's fighting to get to the top. But when that draft night came along, and obviously everybody knew Bedard would be the guy, but when they made that, what was that? What did it mean to the city of Chicago?
Yeah, no, I think it was the hope I shared the last few years with since taking over as GM, he kind of officially said it's a rebuild, but Blackhawks span like 5 or 6 years where they made the bubble playoffs and the COVID stuff in 2020. But outside of that, it's been a long time since they've been to the playoffs. And then you go even further, I think 2015 when they won the Cup the last time they won a series. So it's, we're talking about a long time, a team that was a team and fans who were used to it. So that was taken away. And then they had the transition from, last year, it was pretty well known that it was going to be the last season for Patrick, Jonathan Taves.
Yeah.
Kane gets traded. And then, the Blackhawks basically tell Taves at the end of the season they're not going to re-sign him. So it gives him an opportunity to have a, farewell game at the, in the final season game. So, I feel a lot differently if the lottery doesn't fall as it does, like you go from Kane and Taves to, there's some other really nice players in that draft, but no one was going to get fans excited like Connor Bedard, someone who's been on, the world hockey map since he was, 13, 14 years old. And, everyone known for the last 5-6 years he's going to be the number one pick, and he's compared to McDavid and Crosby and all these players. So it's from that instant, the excitement's been insane, and the Blackhawks selling tickets, and you go to the United Center last week for their Saturday for their home opener, and it's crazy how many Bedard jerseys and shirts and everything they're there. There's still Kane and Taves and a lot of those there, but it's an overwhelming amount of Bedard jerseys. So like you said, the rebuild, they're going to need a number of pieces still. The season's probably going to be pretty rough. They've already, they're only 2 wins in the first 7 games. And I think they're starting, at least the players are starting to feel that. But I think from, Kyle Davis and the GM's perspective that this season was going to be another, he's not going to come out and say it, but they'd love to have another top 5 pick.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's going to be another tanking type season, just done a little bit differently with young players and players, who feel part of the future. Where last season, last year, it was a lot of guys who weren't going to be around for very long. So it's, there's excitement in the air, and I think fans are, I think part of it, Bedard gets off to a hot start, and,
right.
He's leaving the NHL in shots, and, the goals and some of that stuff hasn't come, and he's still kind of adapting, but you can see what he can do with the puck and, the different things, and he's certainly, the real deal, so. I think this year is going to be, I think that fans are going to really enjoy him and some of the younger players, but also I think their expectations are kind of being tempered by just the realities of where the rebuild's at.
Scott, you mentioned it there, and Bedard leading the league in shots and getting the volume up, the minutes up. Is that fairly common as maybe somebody doesn't follow the NHL as closely to have a prize pick like that to get thrown into the fire? And maybe what does that mean for his development early?
Yeah, you don't see, usually within a few drafts, most drafts you only have maybe 1, 2, a handful of guys who actually play in the NHL right off the bat. So, and then they have someone come out of the gate like he did with just, creating the opportunities he has. And again, the points haven't necessarily come. He has, I think it's 2 goals and, a couple assists or so and through 7 games and nearly scored a goal last night. He got called back as an offside. But, he's, it's rare, like you, I don't think there's been a rookie since Crosby who's averaged a point a game. So it's, even the young guys who do crack in, it's been a while since the guy to get a point a game. And I imagine Bedard gets pretty close to that by the end of the season. He's going to figure some things out, and the Blackhawks will figure out how to kind of open him up. And and part of his, I think part of his struggles are, you know, him learning the league, but also the Blackhawks don't have a ton of talent around him.
Right.
So it's just having the facilitators and the players to kind of open up the play for him as well. So, it's extremely rare. I mean, guys like Bedard, just don't come around that often. I mean, McDavid's probably the last one. And, you know, it's been a while that McDavid's been even in the league. So this draft was really, really heavy. And, the top three players are already in the NHL and already having an impact. This draft was pretty good regardless. But Bedard was always kind of considered the prized possession. So, the Blackhawks, they finished in a third worst record in the league. So they didn't tank as well as they wanted to last year, but obviously got lucky with the lottery balls. And I think from what you've seen of him, he's adapted pretty quickly and he's got to figure some things out. But again, just for some of the stuff he does, it's already at an elite level where you put him in a category with some of the top players with the stuff that he can do on the ice.
I don't know if Blues fan Lante totally buys it was just luck they got Bedard to Chicago.
Hey, they've been on ESPN already like three times. Third largest market. Come on, Scott. Come on. Was there some kickback on that in Chicago about, come on?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm for the rest of the league. Every time I go in the comment section, kind of Bedard story, there's plenty of hate. So the Blackhawks, considering what they've, the stuff the off the ice with the Blackhawks, and I think they were hated on the ice for a while then, and you had all the Kyle Beach stuff, and so
sure,
there are plenty of reasons why people didn't feel like the Blackhawks deserved any sort of positive comment, but here they are.
Hey, it's good for hockey too. So
Scott, when you hear the comparisons that are being thrown around him, like, you know, maybe best prospect since whether it's McDavid, Crosby, what is about his skill set that makes him that good and one of the best in a while?
Yeah, he can just do things with the puck and create, time and space that few players can. You know, his shots, it's almost like a whip, just the way that he can get the shot off and change his angles. And I think the adjustment for him now is trying to figure out where to get the shot off and how quickly. And some of it's using his teammates. So much what he did in junior was he'd take on an entire defense by himself and find a way to score. And his teammates were just kind of, pawns out there for him to kind of move around and maybe move the puck and then move himself a little bit. But for the most part, he did a lot of things individually. And the way that he produced at the junior levels of just breaking records and all that type of thing in international competition. So, I think the way that he can create a shot and get his shot off, and that was probably the most eye-opening thing here in the first few weeks, is just the time and space are, at a premium at the NHL. And players, you watch other young players come in and just be humbled, and he didn't have that problem. The last few games, it's been probably a little bit more of a kind of reality setting a little bit, where he's gotten fewer shots off. But, again, he scores in the Blackhawks' last home game, and last night he nearly scored again and had the goal overturned. So when he has those opportunities, those grade-A chances, yesterday was off a one-timer and just put it away, and, he got a pretty nice puck to him in the last game and scored. So, the wide open chances he can put away now, it's those other chances where you see him dangle around a couple of players, and then, at lower levels, he's been able to find a way to finish that. And here, I think it's just sort of learning. And, a guy like Austin Matthews, I did a book with Jill Belfry, who worked with Austin Matthews as a skills coach. And, Belfry said that there's three times, even since Matthews turned pro, that they've changed his shot just to kind of adapt to that NHL. So it's, a guy like, I think Bedard, he thinks the game at a pretty high level and loves to put in the time. And, we're sitting in the locker room after a practice for about an hour just with him because he's on the ice and just, waiting to talk to him. So, he's a kid who loves to put that time and work in. So I imagine he figures it out. But just the way that he makes moves around opponents and does things with the puck where, I think a lot of NHL players, do safe things, and he's willing to try different things. And right now, some of it's, he's learning some tough lessons about what he can get away with, but some of the stuff he is getting away with, and I feel like it's going to get even easier for him as he puts more time into the league.
That's interesting about changing your shot. I guess it'd be like in Major League Baseball, changing your swing, et cetera, to adapt. So that's interesting stuff. Scott Powers, our guest from The Athletic in Chicago. Follow him on Twitter at @ByScottPowers. You can't actually buy Scott. It's BY Scott Powers. Although Scott's probably like, if you want to throw some cash my way, I'll give you an attempt at least. All right, this is not a fair question to you, but as someone that has been around this organization and now knowing kind of the good times lay ahead here for this Hawks squad, even though there needs to be some patience, how would you go about kind of getting this organization to back to where it needs to be, knowing that you could have maybe starting in a couple of years for the next decade the best player in hockey? What do you think the Blackhawks need to do to build to that point?
Well, the main thing they've done over the last few years, and they obviously didn't know they were going to get Bedard, they were just hoping to get a really high draft pick, is that they've built a lot of draft capital where they, they traded away players like DeBrincat and Doc and Kane and, you know, down the line for a lot of draft picks, and a lot of them high first and second rounders. So they've made a lot of first round picks. You know, their defensemen who they drafted seventh overalls in the lineup now. And, they got Bedard, obviously. And then, you know, there's the kid at Michigan, Frank Nazar, who's a first round pick. They have two first round picks at the University of Minnesota. And so they have two more first round picks in this upcoming draft, and one of them potentially could be another high pick. And then they have, a lot of second, third rounders, you know, guys that they think can be, you know, like they obviously want to take big swings and hit with them on those early picks.
Sure.
But they have a lot of, you know, forwards and defensemen and even some goalies now where, you know, second rounders, third rounders, they think they could be complementary pieces. So it's part of it's the patience of, you know, like you get Connor Bedard, I think a lot of Blackhawks fans, and especially, you know, you beat the Penguins on opening night.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in Pittsburgh against Sidney Crosby, and people are talking about the playoffs, and, you know, it's just not going to happen that way. And I think the Blackhawks GM is going to take a patient approach, knowing that just because you have the best player in the draft doesn't mean you're going to win it. I mean, you look at the Edmonton Oilers.
Right.
And plenty of teams who, have really good players and don't get there. And so it's about building that team and having the patience. And then, you know, it's going to be about managing the cap. You know, I mean, Connor Bedard, it's going to cost him $14, $15 million probably in his first contract.
Wow.
You know, like it's the cap's going to go up. And if he wants some sort of long-term deal, it's probably going to be the asking price. And when you look at kind of percentage of cap and if it's going to, you know, it's supposed to rise here in the next few years. So I think, and they got a number of those guys that could, you know, Lucas Reichel's doing his contract next year. And you have all these young guys. They have, you know, three rookie defensemen in the lineup now. And, rookie goalie who's on his second contract, but he's doing another contract here in 2 years. So if these guys are as good as the Blackhawks hope, it's going to cost them. And so it's about managing cap and then, you know, just probably just being a little bit patient. So
yeah.
I don't think the Blackhawks are going to take any, I don't think this offseason they're going to go make a big signing or something like that. They're going to be careful. I think they're going to want to pinpoint some players who can probably play with Connor Bedard, guys that they,
yes.
The roster right now doesn't have a ton of them. So you probably want to get a guy or two, for at least for the short term, and maybe you can overpay him because you have that cap space, at least in the time being, that they haven't played with him. But I think long term they'd love to have their team mostly built from within and a lot of their draft picks, and it's, we don't know how they drafted yet so far. I mean, Connor Bedard, you hit on it, that's easy, but it's the rest that really kind of differentiate whether, you know, they're as good as they hope to be.
Great answer. That's a great answer. This is why I love reading Scott Powers on The Athletic. Again, on Twitter, @ByScottPowers. Last question for you. Mentioned to you off the air, and I've gone through my rants a little bit here, but, you know, finally the Blues get it down in 19, and that's kind of what started it for me, is that the expansion lately with both Seattle and Vegas, I'd be interested to know from you, Scott, and your peers, how the rest of everyone looked at kind of how the NHL did the expansion, because essentially when the expansion happened, especially for Vegas, who of course won the cup, with them it was almost like from the first drop of the puck, they were a team that was a contender for the Stanley Cup, and I just don't feel like that's fair. I don't feel like that is how you should do expansion. I don't mean you need to have a team that only wins 20 games, you know, and is the pitfall of everything and doesn't generate any fans for the cities they're in, but I just felt like maybe they did it a little bit better with Seattle, or maybe it was just more luck that they're not as good. But what do you guys say, you and your the other peers that you visit with that cover NHL hockey about how the expansion draft kind of made, especially Vegas, from the get-go, they have made them pretty stinking solid. And I know they've done some good moves. I mean, they made some good trades, but they were also in the position to be able to do that thanks to the expansion draft. So what say you on how the NHL's handled this?
Yeah, I don't know any other way to do it. Like, you want to give a team opportunity to build a team somewhat fairly. And I feel like the NHL does a good job of allowing teams to protect their players, you know. Like, okay. If you have so many players that fit in a category that it's harder, you know, to have as many players as you want protected. But at the end of the day, you're not giving up your star players. You're not giving up your best young players. A lot of those guys are automatically protected. So I thought Vegas, especially drafted, just really well and put together a team of players that maybe other teams were overlooking a little bit or not valuing enough. And then, you know, they go out and get Mark Stone and eventually Jack Eichel. And you added some major pieces later on through trades. You know, Seattle is a little bit different. You know, they built it around, like, sort of maybe undervalued guys, but with a lot of speed. And Seattle's been a really fast team. And then they drafted pretty well. They got the, you know, kid Matty Beniers, who played at Michigan, who's, you know, he stepped up and been a, you know, top one of the top rookies last season. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just it's challenging to give a team an opportunity to, you know, you obviously want to be somewhat competitive early on just because there's usually about a buzz about a team and, you know, trying to get fans in there. And in a market like Vegas, you want to have some, still any new market, you want to have some excitement. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get the sense that anyone, you know, I think it's unusual. You know, I think in other sports, especially, we've seen expansion teams struggle early on.
Right.
So I think that's the only thing that's going to be a little eye-opening is that how quickly that, you know, especially Vegas and even Seattle's been, you know, competitive very early on, how quickly they've been able to do it. So, I think it speaks to maybe some about analytics, and then
that's a great point.
And then, you know, maybe some of the depth that's maybe not valued by a team. And so, I think it's been a good balance where teams aren't losing pieces where they, you know, they're marquee players or they're losing guys that they feel unfairly. And these other teams are, you know, probably drafting well, and, you know, and you know, they still have to manage around the salary cap and all those different things too. So. You know, it doesn't seem like it's been a big issue. I think just it is different because you have seen those teams, you know, probably exceed expectations so early.
That's fair. Scott's just letting me die on that island over here by myself. I totally get it. No, Scott, that was a great answer as well. I know I say this and it'll never happen because I just don't spend much time up there, but I'd love to have a beer with you sometime and just talk hockey because I think it would be so fun to just pick your brain on not just the Hawks, not just the Blues, not just the Central, but just NHL in general and just what you've covered through the years. I think it would be amazing. Love your knowledge, my friend, and love the idea that you still join us on occasion, which we truly appreciate, buddy. So enjoy the season, enjoy Bedard, and maybe when we get down the road and Bedard's doing some crazy things, we'll get you back on, my friend.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks so much. That is Scott Powers. Again, @ByScottPowers, B-Y Scott Powers. Covers the Hawks for the Athletic. He's one of the reasons I bought into the Athletic because I do enjoy, despite the fact that he covers the team I absolutely can't stand, I love his general context of hockey, and I think he answered it perfectly on their expansion. I think he put me in my place, essentially, although he did kind of there at the end say, you know, other leagues, they don't quite make their teams that strong and where the NHL does. But maybe that's just the way the NHL is set up, and that's something that I admittedly don't watch enough, don't know enough about to understand that. But really cool. I mean, Bedard, you talk about throwing him to the Lions. He's averaging 20 minutes of ice time, which leads the Hawks. So this is a kid that looks like he's 13 years old because he is.
Yeah.
No, he's not. But he's very, very young. And, you know, the Hawks have basically – I thought you asked a really good question about is this normal? And it's not, you know, in the NHL. You don't – like the Blues' number one pick, which was, what, number 10? They had three first-rounders. Those guys probably won't see the ice for two more years. I don't think. I mean, that could be – I could be wrong on that, and the Blues may need that. But it is amazing to see a kid like that come up. And like he mentioned, the top three picks already getting – big time ice time in the NHL. That's not easy to do. It also shows you, doesn't it, where I've always heard people in the past say, well, I think Alabama could go in and win and beat the worst team in the NFL. And you're like, no, I don't think that's not going to happen. I don't know. It's not even that I don't think. That's not going to happen. The best team in college is not going to go beat an NFL team. And this is kind of an example of that. You've got Connor Bedard, who through every level growing up has, I don't mean dominated. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not even like he, you just, I'm sure other dads on other teams are like, yeah, that kid is 1,000 times better than my son. But I mean, and their son's probably stinking good and going to play in the NHL. But Connor Bedard is just a whole different thing, you know, kind of like Gretzky was, kind of like Sid was, and these kids coming up. And for him to be able to come to the NHL and, first of all, play, he's got two goals, leads the league in shots, so he's definitely getting a shot off. But the idea that he is not like he has at other levels, just scoring every time, essentially. And it just kind of shows you that it's not that easy. Now, the Hawks have had a pretty tough schedule early. They've played the Penguins. I know they went against the Avs. They've played
the Bruins twice.
Right, Boston twice. So they have had a schedule that's pretty tough, and I can't wait for the first Hawks-Blues game. That's going to be interesting when he throws up a hat trick, and I'm like, oh, well, this ought to be fun for the next 20. But it just shows you that. Now, it won't take him long. I don't think it'll take Bedard long to then start, I don't know, dominating NHL, but I think to where he's putting up major points, I don't think it'll take him long. But the adjustment to that, like Scott said, not as easy as you think, you know, facing 30 so of the best goalies you'll ever face and defensemen that are starting to understand your strengths and they're taking that away from you, and forwards that are big and they can come down and check you on defense and help out, I mean, in the slot, et cetera. So I think it's going to take some time, but it'll be interesting. I'm not going to say it's going to be fun to watch Bedard do what he's going to do, but it'll be, from an outsider, I guess I'll enjoy watching somebody become so good at his skill. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
my
interest has gone up. Like the fact they were on ESPN last night, right?
They're on ESPN Bruins. All the time. Yeah, I mean, it all worked. It all worked for the NHL.
I can see how that's annoying for you.
Hey, we got a new ESPN contract. We've got the third largest market in Chicago that has been really bad at hockey. I got an idea. Let's give him Bedard, and all of a sudden now we're golden. Because everybody, you know, I don't know, the Rangers and Islanders, the Kings, they need a market team, right? And they got it now, even though the Hawks are, but they got Connor Bedard. And, hey, I have watched every game. Every Hawks game on ESPN I've watched.
It's cool now they're showing, within the last couple of years, they're showing hockey games on TNT, too. So there's more of a national footprint now for hockey than there was prior to that.
Very cool. And then you got the Blues in second to last place and the Hawks in last place. I mean, our teams can't do anything.
Yeah.
The Cubs and the Cardinals, I mean, the Cubs just imploded down the stretch. I know we got to get to break.
They had a good year.
Cardinals were terrible.
Awful.
My Cardinals stink in football. Your Bears stink.
Brutal.
The Colts are halfway decent. I mean, every team we cover, Hawks and Blues are bad.
Illinois football's 3-5.
3-5. Of course, they're going to go 6-6.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and we need to talk. I know we're visiting with Joey Wright, but Johnny Newton definitely not playing the first half against Minnesota that Brett Bielema announced that today.
Correct. So. And we'll hear more from Brett Bielema before we get out of here. We'll have Joey Wright on the other side of this break talking some high school football, and then Brett Bielema after that. You'll hear what he had to say to the media today. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.
Hawks suck.
The Alma Market is your one-stop shop for one-of-a-kind creations from the University of Illinois alumni and students, as well as unique finds from some of your favorite Urbana-Champaign area businesses. Treat yourself or a loved one and support your fellow Illini today. If you're a University of Illinois student, alum, or Champaign-Urbana area business, feature your products on the Alma Market. Becoming a vendor is a great way to expand your reach and connect with Illini across the country. For more details, visit almamarket.org. Go Illini!
Tabman's Towing team of experienced tow professionals is seeking others with CDLs, previous tow experience, and or strong interest in serving others. Please visit our career page at tabmanstowing.com.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West.